now I can hear you.
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sandy. And I think Carol is here. Perhaps she's not able to respond right now. Margie Santos? Again, I know Margie's... Wow. Okay, I know Margie's... Crystal Kelly? From...
I'm here.
Okay. Mary Johns?
I'm here.
Muriel Aparo? Okay. So Margie and Carol were unable to respond because of some issues with Margie's computer, but they are both in the meeting and present. Just can't respond right now. Sorry. So we were at Muriel Aparo. And Alvin Chegg from ADS BRS.
Hi, I'm here.
Great. Thank you, Alan. And, okay, we have also a list of periodic attendees. Sue Pedersen from the Communication Advocacy Network, who typically joins us, could not be here. I believe Ed is here. Ed Peltier?
Yes.
Thanks, Ed. Arlene Lugo? Or Heidi Henner, both from BRS. Alan Gunsberg. Okay, Pat Clark. Mary Burgard, or Kim Campasong. I think there's... Is there anyone, I see Sue Shatney is here. And who else did we miss? Oh, Rhea Martin is present and taking minutes. Thank you, Rhea. And I see a few other folks. Could you identify yourselves and say who you are? I believe I see a Cece Fernandez.
Hi, I'm Cece. I'm interning with the two interpreters here.
Oh, great. Okay. And the interpreters are Jack Terrio, I think, and Mary Sue Owens. I've got it. Okay. Is there anyone else who's in attendance whose name I didn't yet call?
Lisa Drew.
Oh, Lisa Drew. Thank you very much, Lisa. Okay.
Chris, this is Anna Tyler. Can you call again the people who did not respond, like
Sure.
Jenkins,
Sure.
Peron?
Yes, Al Sylvester. I did not hear a response from Al, who's with as the chair of our advisory board. Karen Olson from New England Consortium on Deaf Blindness. Kathy Morgan, Guardian. Christine Telford, Helen Keller National Center, and Carol Jenkins and Margie Santos.
Here.
Okay. Oh.
Yep. And I'm here as well. Margie and Carol Jenkins are both here.
Great.
Chris, I have
yes.
Coming.
This is Mary Johns. Karen Olson will be joining the meeting a little bit later on.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Awesome. We will be moving on. Let's go to the minutes of June 13th. I'll give you 2 minutes to review. If there are any changes or misspellings or you may have, please let me know. I'll give you 2 minutes to review.
This is Lisa Flaherty-Vaughn. Just a moment.
Yes.
We need to spotlight Lisa. Okay, if you can see me. This is Lisa. I noticed there was one error. There was a gentleman's name, Eric. I believe it's Krangle. He is no longer working in that position. He hasn't been there at Capital Region for a while, so I'm assuming we will just remove his name. He retired. So, thank you.
Okay. Are there any changes? Any comments? Anyone? All right, I don't see anybody jumping up and down.
Lisa saying no, I don't see anything else.
All right. Hallelujah. Okay, we'll move on. First of all, we'll certainly have to vote. We need to approve these minutes, which everything is okay.
Lisa said, I move to vote. I move to approve the minutes.
All right. Can someone second that?
Second.
saw Barbara Cloonan second it, and this is Margie.
Okay. And now, all in favor, or should we... Chris, I have a question. Do you do a roll call for this, or how do we treat this?
You're muted, Chris. Sorry about that. Thank you very much. We can do the minutes by just voice vote, usually. It's not typically the sort of thing that we need to do a roll call for.
All right. So, all in favor, I would say aye. And if anyone...
Aye.
Anyone abstain, raise your hand.
Aye.
Sherry's asking, who's abstaining?
Okay. Make the note of that, please.
Sherry is asking, who abstained, please? Did I miss something here? I thought somebody was abstaining.
This is Margie Santos. I'm wondering if it was Mary Johns who abstained. I was a woman's voice.
All right.
Well, would it be helpful if just so we make sure that that we have input from the voting members, would you like me to do a roll call just to clarify this?
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So on the question of voting to accept the minutes, Sandra Miles? Sandra, are you muted? Wayne Seidel on accepting the minutes?
Yes, approved.
Yes, thank you. Let's see, Jesse Stanley, accept the minutes? Or yes?
Yes, approve, yes.
Hannah Tyler?
Yes.
Okay. Lisa Flaherty Vaughn?
Yes, approved.
Okay. Barbara Cloonan?
Yes.
And Sherry Burns?
Yes, approved.
Great. Okay. It passed unanimously.
Okay.
So, just a moment, we're switching interpreters.
Okay. Chris, this is Hannah Tyler. For Chris. So you're saying there are only 9 voting members?
Let's see. Well, we have actually 13. Erin Olson, okay. I'm sorry, there are 12 with the retirement of Eric Krengel. Okay. Kathy Morgan, Christine Telford, and Karen Olson are not currently on the meeting. So, that should bring us down to 9 voting yes and no one abstaining, no one voting no.
Okay. Terrific. Moving along. First thing on the agenda, we did a roll call, old business, approval of minutes, update. I would like to please give me an update on access through technology, the Deafblind Communication Program.
Okay, I can summarize if you'd like. The most recent report that we received was actually March 31st of this year. That's the third quarter of the report. We did not get an end of the year report yet. But out of the $123,080 allocated on the National Deafblind Equipment Distribution Program and administered on the Access Through Technology Program by Arlene Lugo and Muriel Aparo at BRS. They allocated $22,800 back and were working to on the balance of the grant, which was $100,280. And let's see, so we don't have a year-to-date figure on number of clients or consumers served. But in that most recent quarter, services were provided to three consumers with two accessory items and maintenance on other devices. So I would be happy to circulate this in detail along with the updated end-of-the-year figure once I get that from Muriel.
This is Margie Santos. Muriel did join. I do see her.
Oh.
Just letting you know, Chris.
Oh, great.
Take it away, Muriel.
Hi, guys. I'm sorry to have joined late here, but Chris, where were you at as far as for the report?
So I was saying that I did not have anything more recent than that third quarter report at present. So if you can provide an update since that one that from third quarter that we were discussing the last time we met.
Okay.
Of course, we did not meet in September, and so feel free to give us your latest update. That would be phenomenally helpful. And then I could circulate it when we get the minutes out as an addendum to the minutes.
Okay. I will send you the last update that I have for it, and so that way you can send it out to everyone. For quarter four, which ended June 30th, 2023, we had spent, hold on, let me just bring up that report. Budget. Okay, year six. Okay. It's year six of the permanent program, and we ended up spending a total of, let's see, all but 58,800. We spent everything above that. We did really good as far as for our numbers. They're on the incline for individuals coming into the program. I have to give a good shout out to Besby for referring like three new consumers. Gary Allen and Mark Rafferty have definitely reached out to some of the deafblind consumers and have referred them over to us. So we've been able to help them and get them started in the program. We spent approximately $34,000 already in the new year. And as far as for last year, we had finished out spending very little in the fourth quarter. We did give back $22,000, and we're hoping this year not to give back any money at the beginning of January. So right now we're on course to do that and not return any funds, which is great. We have been purchasing items for the individuals. We've been replacing Braille units. Last week, Arlene and I, was it last week or the week before? But anyway, November 30th, we met at Cannes with some of the deafblind consumers, and we were able to answer some of their questions as to the program, what they can qualify for, what, you know, how we run the program. I think it was a pretty good, successful meeting, and I am continuing to do outreach with, we have something scheduled with Chris Radio. I have something scheduled with UConn to come in and speak with groups in April. So things are looking pretty good. Do I have any questions? Okay.
And I have a question. This is Lisa Flaherty Vaughn.
Yes.
Let me go ahead and add the spotlight for her. Okay, perfect. Thank you. And hello, this is Lisa. I did have a question. Thank you for explaining in regards to the program and the distributions of funds and getting feedback from deafblind clients and getting new consumers. And I did want to ask, is there going to be any money for interpreters and consultants, or whenever we have consultants with the deafblind consumers, they'll need to be interpreters, and I wanted to know if there was a budget line item for the interpreter expenses.
Well, the interpreters are covered under our program. It's not a separate line item for us. So the full budget amount that we have to spend for the year does include expenses for interpreters. Okay, so like we had the meeting at CAN.
I had just looked at the list and I saw that it did include interpreter fees. So that's perfect. I didn't know if that would be a separate program, one for technology, getting money from the federal government, and then interpreters being paid through the state. So sometimes it can be confusing where the money for interpreters comes from. I thought that it might have been separate, but thank you for letting me know that that money can be used for that resource.
It is separate though, Lisa. My program, the allotment for interpreters are for any assessments, any training, anything that we do with the Access Through Technology program, that's where the money comes from, is my grant. It does not come from whatever grant that BSB has for interpreters. Does that help clarify?
This is Margie speaking.
And that did clarify, but I know it's been hard to find coverage for interpreters for deafblind consumers, and there needs to be a lot of clarity around that. Is there any response to why it's been difficult to get interpreters paid for?
So that, can I just say that that is, as regards Muriel's report, I don't believe thus far Muriel's been unable to, when we've needed an interpreter to facilitate access through technology, you haven't been unable to find an interpreter, is that right?
No, I have had problems finding interpreters as well. Some of it has to do with last minute requests. Some has to do with how many times we've had to cancel with interpreters last minute. But for the most part, I do find interpreters, it may be last minute that they let us know they have an interpreter, like on the 30th of November. We didn't know until that morning that we had coverage. There seems to be a shortage, and unfortunately with tactile sign language as well, that poses to be a difficult assignment to get interpreters for, because there are not that many tactile interpreters within the state of Connecticut. So, I mean, we do try, and thus far, I mean, there's not too many times that I haven't been able to get them. The longer I have to be able to request an interpreter, so if I can get something where I don't need to schedule something for, say, 3-4 weeks, my chances of an interpreter are better than if I try for a week or two. So usually when I have evaluated scheduling with individuals that need interpreters, I usually ask them to set something at least 3 weeks out, 3 to 4 weeks out, so I can have the better chance of having interpreters coverage.
Questions here. Anna, Tyler? My question is it possible to get some kind of funding to give training of tactile interpretation? Muriel?
Not for my grant. Not for my grant, no.
Okay. Some other grant? Is there anything available of that sort so these interpreters can be updated?
I don't know if there is.
Okay.
You know.
How would you go about doing that to...
Well, I mean, maybe we can check with the school for, you know, Source or Cosign to see if they have anything in place for that, and maybe give them, you know, food for thought to possibly train their interpreters for that so they can even fill the assignments more often. But then you also have to have the willingness of the individual interpreters that would want to, you know, further and go to tactile sign language. So that would definitely take some research, and, you know, that's not something that I have time to do with the programs, the two programs that I run. But I might be able to find somebody that might be able to do that. So I will get back to the, you know, back to the group if I have an answer for someone looking up that information.
Okay, thank you.
And this is Lisa here. And this is Lisa here. Thank you again for your input and your honesty. I know it has been a difficult thing to find tactile interpreters in general. There's only a few here in the state of Connecticut. And there are a lot of interpreters who know ASL, but not very many who can do tactile sign language, and it's not fair for deafblind consumers to have to wait for technology and not be able to find interpreters. So I think we have to really do something to enhance the tactile interpreting network for deafblind consumers. Thank you.
And Jesse would like to speak.
Okay, I'm going to remove this spotlight here. One moment. Okay. One moment. I'm sorry, Jesse. Hold on one second. One sec. And add your spotlight. Okay. Go ahead. Try again. And this is Jesse speaking. I wanted to let you know that ASD is going to be getting $100,000 to $200,000 for the reason of access to the deafblind community. We will be having a meeting in January to discuss how to best provide training for interpreters in the state of Connecticut, working with deafblind consumers. We're going to be discussing that in 2 weeks' time. And also, the goal is to include hospitals as well.
Thank you, Jesse.
Good night. Remove the spotlight.
Any other questions?
Just Hannah, it's Chris Lassen. I was going to suggest that we could add this under new business, the general issue of recruitment of interpreters, with the ability to do tactile interpreting if you'd like.